Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Us Americans over here have been having a really good time talking about the nuances of learning the French language, navigating culture differences, and finding love and work. But I think it's high time we added another layer to this season. In this episode, I'm happy to introduce to you a French business owner with a very interesting concept aimed at Anglophones in Paris, and an American restaurant owner with French parents and a deep passion and love for French wines. What are their views regarding French food and culture? What is it like to not even think about any of that? Because whatever you do, it's the French way, because you are in fact French. Take a listen and see how their thoughts line up with what you've been hearing the rest of us talk about all season. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm excited to have you here because we have been talking this season about France and drinking culture and kind of food culture. And I think we really needed a French person here. Everyone else has been an American in Paris or an American in France. So we kind of need to get the other side, the other point of view.
You needed the French accent.
Yes.
I'm here.
The French accent and also just French. Your, yes. And also just your thoughts on us and what you really eat, because we can look at it as an American in Paris. It can look one way to me because I'm kind of on the outside, but then It's completely different for you because you're on the inside. You go different places, eat different things, you know, different customs.
True. That's very true.
So I want to start off first. Do you have a favorite food and wine or food and drink pairing that you just love to eat and drink together?
Well, while I was thinking about this podcast, I had a chat with my husband and I was asking him the question because I don't really know. I think here in France, we eat food and we will have wine without even thinking about it. So that's why I was like, are we doing something special or like, I don't really know. So all I got for my answers are like, during summer, we drink rosé, which is completely true that you can drink rosé with absolutely almost everything. But I know that what we like doing is now for New Year, we have a raclette and we have some white wine. And the white wine I really, really like is Chablis. That's the one I really like. It's not nothing really, really fancy, but that's the one.
But it's delicious. It's
delicious. It's delicious.
And I'm so glad you mentioned raclette one, and also very glad that you had this discussion with your husband to the point you're like, well, wait, a pairing, like you don't just eat and you don't just drink, because that is very indicative of French culture. You don't stress about it. Whereas Americans do, we're like, okay, I'm having this for dinner tonight. What wine should I have? What wine should I, you know, drink? Oh, what would make it perfect? But you just go to the shop. You're like, well, I like this wine and I want to eat this for dinner. And so you just do it.
I think it's, I don't know if it's the French culture, to be honest, but I think it's you learn with your parents when you are a bit older and you are allowed to drink wine and you just taste. And then you learn a bit more about wine. And I know that, for example, my dad has a cellar and he will know exactly what to match with like the food he's preparing. And it's almost like a ritual where before having dinner, he will go to the cellar and he will look at all the bottles and he will be like, I'm going to pick this one. So I guess he knows. The older you get, the I think it's just like, because you taste, of course, like so many wine during your life and everything, and then you have your own taste and you know what you like and what's good with food. But it's, for now, I don't have any cellar. I'm not at that point.
Not yet.
I would
not
prefer to have a walking wardrobe instead
of a cellar. Right. First things first, we would like the walk-in wardrobe.
Shoes, and then we will get the wine.
Shoes and bags. And then we can talk about
and then the wine. But yeah, I guess it's something that I will also want to have maybe when I'm older, when I will have maybe more time to appreciate and more skills and knowledge about wine. But yes, definitely when here in France, we don't really overstress about it. It's like, okay, we have meat, so we have red wine. We can have, like, as I said, raclette, so we have white wine. If we have dessert and we want to pair that with wine, also we think about it. So it's not like something huge. It's more, yeah, you know, when you are going to the shop, you know what you like, you know what's good, you know what's not good.
You mentioned raclette, which is a completely French thing.
Can
you please explain to us raclette and kind of like, because it's seasonal. You don't do raclette all year. It's special raclette times. Can you explain that to us?
Yes. Well, raclette is definitely seasonal. It's something you do when it's really cold outside. So it's more like for winter. It's definitely a winter dish. I had a friend over from London. And my husband, when I said, oh, Jenny, she's coming next week. And he was like, oh, we need to do a raclette. And I was like, oh, yes, that's definitely true. Yes, let's do a raclette. And she absolutely enjoyed it. And I said, have you had a raclette before? And she remembered that one day my dad, because I used to live in London, my dad came to visit us and he came with like cheese and charcuterie and everything. So we had a raclette in London. So that was just absolutely amazing because obviously me being French, I moved to London with my raclette machine. I couldn't go there without it. I had to have my raclette machine in my bag on the train. So raclette is a dish that we need to have a special machine for it. I know everyone has the normal one, I would say, is you have charcuterie, so you can have ham, saucisson, different type of ham and saucisson, and you have potatoes, and you have the raclette cheese, and then you bake the cheese, you put the bake on like a small pan in the machine, and then once it's like cooked, you put that on the potatoes. And what I really like doing is like I cut absolutely everything. That's my technique. I cut absolutely a piece of everything and I prepare the perfect fork with a bit of everything in it with like pecans. That's the thing you need to add. And then you have the perfect boucher.
So the perfect fork would be a little potato. And then the saucisson, the melty raclette cheese.
Yeah, and for New Year with my husband, we had a raclette just with truffle cheese, truffle ham, truffle saucisson, truffle everything. And my daughter, the oldest one who is two years old, she loves truffle already.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, the other day she had like pasta with like truffle and ham with like truffle. And she was like, yeah, fine by me. I love it.
Train them up right when they are young.
Exactly, yes.
Are there any other food dishes or other things that you can think of that are like winter specific like that for France?
Well, I would say bœuf bourguignon because it's something that you also eat, during winter. It's like a kind of like a meal that you share. It's like one thing that... I don't know if it's going to sound good or bad to say that, but that your mom prepared. My dad is doing it for us, but it's just like the parents are doing. And it's just like, yes, you have this big plate of like bourguignon that's cooking for hours and hours, and the meat and everything, and you put some red wine in it. So I would say bœuf bourguignon is also one. Well, blanquette de veau, we have, I think it's like big meal with sauce and of course different vegetables, but like sauce and meat, something like really heavy you don't want to eat when it's like 30 degrees outside.
And are these more so for like a family gathering or friends?
Oh, everyone. Well, okay. The raclette, obviously with everyone, because the raclette is, you don't have to do anything. You just
have raclette is fun and easy.
It's just like, that's the easy one. It's like, what do we have? Let's have a raclette. It's like, oh yes, let's have a raclette. And it's funny because I feel like now with social media, when you have your first raclette of the year, you share the picture and you are like, this is the first one.
Yes.
The first of like many, but you share it with everyone saying like, this season is open. So it's just like really, really cultural, like, yes, let's have a raclette. But then, yes, of course, I guess you will have that with your family, like for dinner, but also like on the Sunday for lunchtime. But also with friends, like you can definitely have a big meal with friends on the Sunday, like a Sunday roast in the UK, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just wondering, were there any kind of dishes or anything that you're like, oh, well, this is what you have with your family? I guess like a Sunday roast, you're usually with your family and you have the roast with them and do that.
Yeah, we will have like some beef and vegetables, nothing like really crazy or fancy or anything, but this is what we will eat all together to have like a good moment, like sitting at the table. It's, I think, I don't know, well, to be honest, I don't know if it's something really, really French, but I know I was really struggling with that. When I was younger, I just hated it because you know that you're going to spend hours and hours sitting at the table. And when you are younger, you just don't want to do that. You are like, I want to be somewhere else. But then when you are getting older, then you realize like, oh, okay, we've been here for 3 hours. Like, how come, am I old now? It's just like, it's just like, yes, you like spending time sitting at the table, having dinner or lunch and just enjoying food and good company. I think that's when you grow older, that's something you really like and you really enjoy. And I feel like now when I taste something good, when I eat something good, I'm like, oh, what's the recipe? It's just like, what's your secret? You are trying to get information and just to try to learn and try to recreate that. And it's more like, yes, you ask question and you try to recreate the recipe. And when you ask someone for a recipe, there is always like, oh, I don't know, I just like go with the flow and I put a bit of this and a bit of that. And when you do it, it's definitely not the same. And yet different tastes and you are like, no, didn't work. Okay, I will try again.
Since I have you here, an authentic French person.
Yes.
Tell me about a real French charcuterie board. I ask that because have you seen on Pinterest and on Instagram these boards that I have to admit that they're largely American, that are piled full of cheese and meat, that you don't see a corner of the board. It's just fully piled, full of things. Is that a true French board? Is that the way it is really done?
So are you talking about grazing tables? Is it the name or?
Yeah, like a cheese plate or a planche here.
A planche. Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that it's completely French. I would say it's more like, I don't know if it's American or, but it's definitely not from France. It's, yeah, you still need to see the board. And you need, so the perfect one will be to have pickles, that's one thing. But to have some ham and some saucisson, I guess it's difficult to use, like to say exactly what, but you need to have smoked ham, for example, that's really good, and different type of meat. What you will have here in restaurants is the platter, and you will have or just charcuterie or charcuterie and cheese. So you can share, so you can pick what you really like. You can also have sometimes butter, so you can have some bread, because we love bread. That's also something French. But yeah, I guess the French one won't be with like a big pile of like food. It will be just the best of a bit of everything.
Now, let's get more into you. I mentioned that you were French. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Right. So I am 36 now. As I said, I am a mom of two. So Ella is two and Kali, she is going to turn 11 months. So I used to live in London. I lived there for 7 years. I moved to London because I wanted to practice my English. Started as a waitress where I was serving wine and alcohol. And I absolutely loved it. But then I made my way up in London and I worked in marketing, events and PR. I came back here in Paris for a job. It was supposed to be for a year, but then COVID arrived. I got pregnant. My contract ended up and I was supposed to renew my contract, but COVID started. So then I decided to have a second baby. And while I was pregnant with Kali, I started to think again about gourmet cinema. So gourmet cinema is something I created in London. And the concept is that I am going to people's houses and I organize a dinner. It can be a dinner or it can be a lunch. But I'm working with a private chef and we organize, he or she will cook the food and the food will be inspired by a movie or will be exactly the same than the movie. So for example, Julie and Julia, which is an American movie. So you have the bœuf bourguignon. So let's say that people are booking for this. So I will arrive with, I bring all the plates. I bring absolutely everything for the table. Apart from the glasses, because I can break everything. But so apart from that, I bring absolutely everything. So the chef will prepare as much as he or she can in front of the guest. So that will be a bit of like an animation. And when people arrive, they have a welcome drink and then they have canapés, starter, main and dessert. And then they have a snack to watch in front of the film. A waitress is there, so the service, it's kind of like having a restaurant at home, really. It's like the chef is cooking in front of you, someone is there for the service, you don't have to do anything. We bring everything, the food is from the market, organic and everything. We work just with amazing food, and once the people are done with the food, they will watch the film. So I have different films. I had 16 films. So I do obviously for kids with Ratatouille and Lady and the Tramp. And for adults, I have Julie and Julia. I have the film Chef. I absolutely love this film. But I also have French films like Amélie Poulain. I have La Belle Époque. I don't know if you saw that movie, but it's a really good, it's an amazing movie. So yeah, so that's what I offer.
How did you come up with the idea to do it?
Someone asked me this question already, and I don't really know. I think it was one day on my sofa, and I was like, I love food, I love movie, what can I do? At that time, I was working on film premieres in London, and I absolutely love movies, but I love the atmosphere on a premiere and like everything, the buzz that's coming. I love the buzz around the movie, like everything you can do to promote the movie. That's my thing. But then I also had, because yeah, well, actually at that time I was single and I was on Bumble, the dating app, and they were launching the Bumble business thing and in London. I don't know if it's the same in Paris or in the US, but at least in London they were doing that. And I got invited to an event and a private chef was there and she was cooking in front of us. So it was kind of like a dating thing, a speed dating thing, but you were having some food, but you were also talking about business and a mix of absolutely everything. And I remember going home and being like, that's really cool. That was the first time that I had a chef cooking in front of me and I could see really what was going on in the kitchen. And I thought that was really cool. And I thought, okay, I love food. I love film. What can I do? And then I came up with this idea and then I developed it. And for example, I did Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in an ice cream shop that for kids. That was really cool. So I think there is something to do with food, but what I want to develop here in Paris now, because this is where I am for now, but it's to have my dream would be to have an event where you go and see a movie, but you experience it. It's like an immersive experience where you can taste some stuff, you can hear, you can watch. It's just like playing on the five, how do you say that in English? Five senses.
The five senses. Mm-hmm.
Five senses, obviously. So that's what I will definitely want to create. But because of the pandemic and everything, of course I want to go big, because it's like you go big or you go home. That's what I think. But for now, I know I will go big one day, but for now, with the pandemic and everything, I know it's amazing to be able to go and meet people in their own place and give them the chance, because I know that some people, they cannot go to the restaurant because they don't have the vaccine, or they're scared of like going outside and being part of a group and everything, which I can definitely understand. So at least having it in your own home, you are safe. And nothing can happen, really. So so that's why I thought it would be nice to do it during the pandemic. And it's funny because I did an event, and it was early last year. So it was after the lockdown number two and before lockdown number three. And the ladies, they were watching Grease, and they were having so much fun. But listening to their conversation, I hope they won't listen to the podcast, because they could be mad at me. But they were saying, oh my God, I put a bra today, like just because they were going to meet other people. Oh, I shaved my legs, I'm wearing a dress. It's just because people now, it's been 2 years now, mm-hmm. and we've been home and not seeing anyone, staying, like I put some lipstick today and I was like, why not? It's just because you don't really like... Now everything changed. You are wearing a leggings, like a t-shirt, at least, well, this is what I'm doing, but it's not like, you don't really go out much, or not as much as before. So having this experience, I feel like in your own home is something special. And I really enjoy, when I was having this lunch with these ladies, they were, so when the dinner is finished, when the food is finished, then I put the DVD, put everything, the snack on the table, and then I leave. So the people can have fun, they do whatever they want in front of the film. And they were sending me videos of them being completely drunk, dancing in front of the movie, but having so much fun. And to be honest, that's why I created this, because people can have fun, because you like they can do whatever they want, and they had some good food, they had good wine, and they had good company. And that's what gourmet cinema is trying to create.
I love it. And yes. It sounds super fun. Do you have a favorite movie that you have paired dishes with? Something that you're just like, oh, this is my favorite.
Well, when you sent me the list of questions, when you said favorite movie, I was like, my favorite movie is Top Gun.
You would eat with Top Gun.
I will eat Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, that answers that.
I really like Pawn Star Martini. That's my thing. That's my cocktail. It's just like, I discovered that when I was in London with my friends, and I just absolutely love it. So if I'm watching Top Gun, I will have that as a cocktail. But if I need to watch, I really like the film Julie and Julia with the Boeuf Bourguignon, because then you have some good food, some red wine that will be really, really good. But I also have the film Chef, and you can have a beer. They are drinking beer during the film and having a really cold, good beer. Like for now, I am trying to organize an event here in the 14 where I live. So that will be an outdoor cinema in front of the city hall. And I'm trying to think about the film I'm going to show and the food I'm going to prepare and the wine and everything. But I'm like, okay, it's going to be summer. People will be, hopefully it will be warm. So I need to get some beer. I need to prepare some beer for the event. So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, the favorite movie, it really depends. It really depends.
Well, yeah. We can go with the Top Gun and the Porn Star Martini. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. That's going to be in all the social posts. Top Gun, Porn Star Martini.
Yes or no?
Estelle said it first.
Yes.
Well, Estelle, thank you so much. Where can we find out about you and the next events?
So the website is gourmetcinema.com. I'm on social media, Instagram and Facebook, and you can reach me, people can reach me on the platform. Send me an email. I'm always happy to chat. I can go to watch Top Gun with someone, or get some wine with someone, or coffee or anything, and just talk about French food and anything.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. We got the scoop on French food, a few traditions, a little bit about the drink culture and as it goes with food. We talked about a planche and porn star martinis. I think we covered everything.
So before we end this podcast, I had a couple of questions for you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Questions for me. Yeah. I love it.
Because you are American and you live in France, but do you know... So I have words in French and I have the translation in English. What do you want me to do? Do I say it in French and you tell me in English, or do I say it in English and you tell me in French?
Oh no, you say it in French, because we got to get your accent in there. You say it in French and I'll tell you in English. Okay.
A really easy one. Sorry. What's le vin?
The wine.
The wine. Okay.
Wine.
Le pinard.
There is a bar that I like that's called that.
Oh, okay.
It's not duck, because that's canard.
A duck? No, that's canard.
Right, that's canard.
That's
right. I don't know what pinard
is. It's slang for wine.
No, okay, that's why the wine bar is called that. That makes sense.
Well, you learned something. I'm glad.
Yes.
Okay, le vin blanc.
Oh, white wine. White wine.
Le vin rouge.
Red wine. I learned these early on. Before I said bonjour, bonsoir, le vin rouge, s'il vous plaît. Like, that's how I learned French.
Good. And le rosé?
Ah, rosé. The pink one.
Mm-hmm. The pink one. Château. What's a château?
Château, castle. Yeah. Or it could be where the wine is from. So some of them are like bottled at the chateau.
Yeah, so it's more like a vineyard.
Yes.
Like we have Chateau Bourgogne or, yes. Le cépage?
That's the blend. So the different grapes that go into the wine.
Yes, that's good, good. Un vignoble?
The winemaker.
No, le vignoble.
Oh, the vineyard.
Yeah, the vineyard.
The vineyard. Okay. Vigneron is the winemaker.
Yes. Really good. Une cave.
The cellar.
Well done. Well done.
That was good. Oh, and I'm leaving all the same mistakes in that. That fantastic. Yes. Yes. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Right. And I learned something. So, la pina.
Yes. That's good. And well, I was doing some research on wine and everything. I thought that was interesting to say that France produces 7 to 8 billion bottles of wine per year, that's the equivalent of 20% of the world's production of wine.
Thinking of the size of France, yes, that is a lot. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And there is... 293 original appellations in France. I thought that was interesting. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. And I think, and that's more than when I used to study that. So new people are getting AOCs, and then some people are getting out of
AOC. So. Yes, and AOCs is not about the quality, it's more about the region and where it's from.
Yes, being very specific of where it's from.
Yes.
Yeah, and we don't really have an AOC system in the States. We have AVAs. And so American viticultural area, not as strict, but it does kind of designate, okay, if it has this name, it must be this percent of this grape.
And last question, what's your favorite wine?
So today, because it's cold and winter, it's definitely a red, Southern Rhone. So probably Chateauneuf-du-Pape.
Okay, that's my dad's favorite wine. Yeah, that's a really good one.
It never disappoints.
It's not a secret that France loves cheese and wine, so not surprising that an entire culture revolves around the consumption of these two great gifts to the culinary world.
Come and discover one of the best parts of French culture with the cheese and wine class or a wine tasting class. Join my classes. They're a great opportunity to experience the French terroir. During these two-hour classes, you'll sample some of the finest cheeses and finest wines, learn the techniques and language of cheese tasting and wine tasting, and also the concept of terroir. You'll spend a great evening in a relaxed atmosphere with beautiful surroundings in the heart of Montmartre with me at Cooking with Class Cooking School, and get a great head start to fully understand and appreciate our love for French cheese and wine and help you approach them with greater confidence. Visit cookingwithclass.com, COOKNWITHCLASS, and search Paris Classes for more information or to book your date.
Thank you for being here. I want to just jump right into it. Can you tell me who you are and what you do?
Yes, my name is Yannick Benjamin from New York City, and I am the co-founder of a restaurant called Contento Restaurant, located right in the heart of East Harlem on 88 East 111th Street.
And you are a little bit into wine, you'd say?
Yes. You know, my whole entire career has been based around wine and hospitality. My entire family worked in the hospitality industry. I followed in their footsteps. And so naturally, unsurprising that I eventually opened and got into opening my own restaurant. But I started working as a sommelier at a very young age, about 19 years old. I started taking wine classes at the age of 17. My mother's from Bordeaux, so was always involved in this world.
Okay, now mother from Bordeaux, that's interesting. Is that something that kind of like you started even maybe tasting wine and doing wine kind of activities before even you got into it formally?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, my dad is from the north of France. So he's from La Bretagne, Brittany, and he comes from an agricultural family. So, you know, he had a sister that had a fairly big farm. He himself grew up on a farm. So when I spent my summers there, I was on the farm with my grandmother. So there was certainly this connection to the land that I always had, especially growing up as a kid in New York City was the complete opposite. And my mother is right from she's right in the heart of the Médoc. So, you know, you were surrounded by vines. It was just part of that culture. And oftentimes I would drive to these wineries, whether it was with my uncle or with my mom and dad, to pick up some wines for dinner that evening. And I just love that smell of the cellar, the fermentation. But I didn't really fully understand how transcending wine could be at a young age. I mean, that didn't happen till later on, but I loved the aspect of what it took to make wine and the people behind it.
Okay, so you got at a young age, more of the culture of it before you even got into the tasting aspect of it, which I find very interesting because some people do it the other way around. What could you say is like a big culture difference between America and France? And then we'll move into some others.
Being that my mother is from Bordeaux, they're very territorial. And I think that's something that can be applicable to all regions in Europe. If you go to Piedmont, most of the time, the wines that they're drinking are from their region or even from a specific sub-region. And the same really applies to Bordeaux for sure. You know, they're very prideful of their wines and of their region. So finding wines from Crozet Hermitage or Saint-Joseph in Bordeaux, it's certainly challenging. Now, more and more, you'll see really cool natural wine bars in the city of Bordeaux. There's a really good food scene, but that didn't really happen. And that didn't really exist 10, 15 years ago. And certainly there's more of an open mind. So that's the culture of it. But I would certainly say that You know, it was very natural. So it wasn't as if they had these long conversations about who the producer was. It was just the same way, like if you and I went to a restaurant and there was water on the table, there was wine on the table. It was just a natural ingredient and part of the actual table, whether it was lunch or for dinner.
Do you think that part of French culture and French wine could ever be adapted in America? That would ever be like a thing, like how we always have ketchup on the table, perhaps? We would have wine on the table like that.
I certainly think that it's happening more and more, for sure. There was a very interesting article written by Eric, I think it was Eric Asimov, on the New York Times about the consumption of millennials. Is certainly lower. And I think VinePair, pretty famous platform, digital platform that focuses on the beverage industry here in the United States, had a long discussion on one of their podcasts that there's just so many options. Hard seltzer is quite popular. Beer is quite popular. The spirits industry does a really good job about cultivating that millennial culture. But I do think that, eventually people, as they get older, they want to shift to something that might transcend them, that might be lower in alcohol as well. So I do think that slowly but surely, you do see more people having a glass of wine for dinner or for lunch, whether they're going out to a restaurant or whether they're at home. And on top of that, I think, modern technology, things like Coravan, have allowed people to not commit to a whole bottle and just be able to pour a glass of wine for themselves. But I do think, again, it's really more about what demographics are we talking about.
That does make a huge difference, because you mentioned the different options they have as far as drinks go. I also think that the younger generation is becoming a little more focused on packaging as well. And they want things in a can or the smaller bottles or a box. And that isn't necessarily something that they're doing that in France, but I'm not sure if that will ever happen in a large way.
Well, I do agree with everything you just said. I mean, I think packaging has a lot to do with it. I think one of the great successes that I think natural wines have, if you look at their labels, they're very eye-catching. And I think that in general, especially from the retail perspective, that people a lot of times make a decision on what they're going to drink based on the label itself. And so hopefully a lot of other major wine companies pick up on that. And I think that it's all about the packaging. I think that, we'll talk about a wine in a can, or it's really a spritzer, I guess, whatever you want to call it, but like Ramona. Ramona is very eye-catching. It's got beautiful, vibrant colors, things of that nature. And then other natural wine labels, I think, just do a really good job on that. And I think if we can continue to do that and fully understand the segment of who we're trying to attract, then we're going to be really successful. But if we continue on with like these big, heavy, gaudy bottles and, just tacky labels, millennials aren't going to really jump on that, or just people in general for that matter.
With you working largely with French wine, what is like a common question that you get, or like the most popular question that you get about French wine in your restaurants or just life?
I think just in general, people are more interested in finding out that the most common question is, are they organic? Are they farming sustainably? Interesting questions like that. And I think the restaurant that I've created with the wine list, people are also very adventurous. They want to find out who's the latest avant-garde producer in France, some exciting new region. They're willing to explore places like the Savoie, like Jura, interesting grapes, like Pinot Donnie in the Loire Valley. So those things of that nature, even for example, when we have Bordeaux, a lot of times we don't carry Bordeaux. That's part of the Grand Cru classification of either 1855 or the Saint-Emilion classification. But there's all these wonderful producers in Bordeaux that we often forget about, but especially from this appellation called the Côte de Bordeaux. So you have Côte de Bordeaux Franc and Cadillac and Côte de Bourg. And so a lot of fun producers like that. So I think people are very interested in that. And they also offer incredible value and high quality. So I think that's what people are really looking for. Something authentic, something that is, you know, having a social and environmental impact.
That's interesting, because I was not thinking that that would be the answer. So it's interesting to have a view of what Americans are like in France, but then also what Americans drink as related to French wine or the questions they ask. It's kind of a different thing. So very, very interesting. I'm glad you're here and we're talking about this. I want to ask about champagne and sparkling wine in general. Yes. Is that still like a big thing? Are people still with the larger champagne houses and really just focused in drinking those, or are some people more open and interested in grower champagnes?
Yes. Well, first off, here in New York City, I can speak about people, particularly those that work in the industry, whether it's in retail or sommeliers that work in restaurants, go absolutely gaga for that category of farmer's fizz. Farmer's fizz being smaller producers that grow their own grapes, unlike the bigger houses who buy their grapes. So farmer fizz, very, very popular amongst the industry here in New York City, without a doubt. But amongst the consumer, champagne, gosh, you know, it's such an incredible product, and it goes well with so many different food ingredients, whether it's Southeastern, Asian cuisine, barbecue, obviously Western European cuisine, you name it, it's always available. It's got those bubbles, it's got acidity, it's got creamy texture. So incredibly popular. We have a very extensive grower champagne list at Contento that does really well. And I think it's quite popular for sure. And we are very lucky that we have access to those producers here in New York.
Okay. Changing gear slightly, do you have a favorite like wine tradition, like something that you did with your family surrounding wine, or something now that you do at the restaurant or with friends?
Well, I don't know if it's a tradition, but I will say that I am very obsessed. And whenever I'm drinking a bottle of red wine at home, even if, if it's a couple years, old, but I mean, or whatever the case is, I always like to decant my red wine, and I always like to drink it cellar temperature, which is about 55 degrees.
Okay, that is good to know. And you feel like that the decanting plus the proper temperature, that is the ideal way for maximum enjoyment.
I can't speak for everybody else. People could do whatever they want once they buy that bottle of wine. It's their bottle. But I can speak for myself. I love nothing more than going to a cellar and visiting a producer. And I just think their wines taste so much better because they're always at that temperature of 55 degrees, cellar temperature. And that's how I like to drink my wines. And I think that when you decant the wine, that oxygen just definitely brings out layers and complexities to that wine, especially for more full-bodied red wines and younger red wines too, especially.
Well, so for my red wine this evening, I'll make sure I serve it proper temperature and decant a little bit. I'll make sure I do that.
Yes.
Last question for you.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite food and wine pairing? Like something that you just, this is the, your ultimate favorite, whether it makes sense or not.
Well, I'll tell you currently, like the pairing that I like to play with at the restaurant. We have a duck liver mousse with a chicha morada gelée on top of it. So it's a play on French technique, French ingredients that meets Peru. So we have a lot of Peruvian-based dishes at Contento Restaurant because the chef himself is Peruvian. The chicha morada is a liquefied purple corn gelée. And on the side, we have focaccia bread that's absolutely delicious, made from a bakery that we get. And so I love that dish and people love it. And the duck liver mousse, you know, typically you would think that it's heavy and actually it's just very airy and light body, but so complex and just so beautiful. And believe it or not, I pair it with a cider, a pear cider from Normandy, from a wonderful producer called Eric Bordelais. And Eric Bordelais was the former sommelier at one of my favorite restaurants in the world and my favorite chefs in the world, Arpège. The chef is Alain Passard, and he worked there for a very long time. He went back to Normandy, back to his family's orchards, and really started vinifying and took on that philosophy as the same way that vignerons do with wine. And he applied that to his pear and apple orchards. And this pear cider just absolutely, I think, really brings out the magic of this dish and brings out the beauty of this beverage. And I love pear cider and I love what he does. And it's really eye-opening for people when they get this pairing. And it does really well because there's a little seal too to the pear cider. So it really cuts through the fattiness, does have a little sweetness to go with the sweetness of the dish itself. So from a molecular composition point of view, they both go really well together.
Wow, it sounds amazing. So if I ever find myself, well, one, back in America, and two, in New York, hopefully that dish is still on the menu so I can try that pairing together.
We would be honored to have you, please.
Wonderful. So thank you so much for your time today. Before I let you go, can you tell us where we can find you on social media and where we can find your restaurant?
Yes. Well, thank you so much. You can find me on social media at Yannick Benjamin, YannickBenjamin. The restaurant is at Contento NYC as well. And then finally, the website is ContentoNYC.com. And if you ever want reservations, have issues making a reservation, just reach out to me via Instagram, DM me, and I will respond as soon as possible.
Perfect. All right. Thank you. Did y'all just hear that? Estelle gave me a pop quiz, y'all. How do you think I did? But you see how understanding the language is such an important part of life here. Also, how ingrained food and wine culture is at an early age. They know and do certain things because they saw their parents do it. They were raised that way, and now they live it. It's like second nature. Thank you so much for the lessons, Estelle and Yannick, and also for making me a little hungry. Maybe I'll mix myself up a porn star martini while I figure out what to eat. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Wine School Dropout. This podcast was produced by Studio Ochenta and hosted by me, Tanisha Townsend. Our executive producer is Lori Martinez, sound design and production by Luis Lopez and Kiara Santella. Production coordination by Catalina Hoyos. Our theme was done by Gabriel Damaso. Music is by Makai Beats. Our art is by Tiffany DeLune. Follow us at Wine School Dropout on Instagram. If you'd like the show, tell a friend about it and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, sit back, relax, and have a glass.
What's the one thing you've never told anyone? People just like you tell all in a podcast called The Secret Room. If you're a true story fan and you can't get enough of people's most intimate dreams, desires, and shame, you will love The Secret Room. Like Mila's deathbed confession that her daughter's absent father is a movie star, or Jen's secret love affair with a man on death row, or the way Joey falls in erotic love with inanimate objects. People all around you carry the most amazing secrets, and you're invited to The Secret Room for a front row seat to spectacular stories that will touch you, jar you, and amaze you. Search for The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.